You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, Cardinal fans. I'm Ozzie Smith.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go.
And you're listening to the Cardinals Insider Podcast.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Here's your host, Brent McMillan.
September 17th episode of the Cardinals Insider Podcast. Welcome into the program. My name is Brett McMillan, and glad today to be able to bring you a discussion with the Cardinals manager of photography, Taka Yanagimoto. You maybe haven't heard of Taka before. His name might not be one that you're familiar with, but I can guarantee that you have seen his work individually and also his staff's work throughout a lot of different places. Cardinals publications, which would be Cardinals Magazine, the Cardinals social media feeds, the Cardinals website, maybe some different promotional materials that you might see some of our corporate partners put out. Anything that involves players or interest of the St. Louis Cardinals and needs to have photography, Taka is generally involved in. He's a great guy, a lot of fun to be around. I think that you'll enjoy this conversation, and we'll also enjoy getting to hear more about his behind-the-scenes role. He has a relationship with the players, or a rapport with the players, that is unique, as he's the guy kind of always that is the man in the room, so to speak. As things are happening, he is there documenting it through still photography, and that's allowed him to have a really interesting seat to some interesting moments, and also to get to rub elbows with some people that I think you will be interested to hear about as well. Before we get to that conversation, I want to remind you to not miss a minute of the postseason action at Busch Stadium. Tickets for potential wild card and division series home games in St. Louis go on sale Thursday, September the 19th. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit cardinals.com/postseason. Exciting time of year. The pennant chase is on here in St. Louis. 12 to go, and the magic number is 11 as I speak here on the 17th. Hopefully it just keeps getting smaller and smaller. And our guest today, Taka, will be headed out on the road for the postseason. Right now, manager of photography for the St. Louis Cardinals, Taka Yanagimoto, the guest on the Cardinals Insider Podcast. All right, Taka. Well, this is fun because every day I am around you. I'm walking past your office. Sometimes I come in and plop down and bother you about different photo things. And Today, you're up here in our domain, our Busch Stadium studio. Yeah, you enjoying that?
I love it. Yeah. So the decor looks great. I love the black foam. is that an egg crate? What is that? It's nice.
It is, actually. No, it is egg crate. That's literally what it says in
very,
the description.
Very comfy.
Online. This side, though, it's kind of got the up and down lines.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's very Art Deco. I like that. It's a good 70s vibe. Well done.
The audience is going, we can't see any of this. But that's all that you do every day is put out things that people can, in fact, see. So you're the manager of photography, which is a big job. And anybody listening to this, they're a Cardinal fan if they're listening. They have seen your stuff before. They've probably actually seen you before on TV, postseason celebrations, stuff like that. They just didn't really notice it. Like, you were kind of in the background
with the camera.
Yeah,
try not to be a part of the action. But definitely at times have to be involved in it. So, yeah. Yeah.
How would you describe what you do in a general sense for the team?
In a general sense, I think that anything that is sort of photo-related for the club, I'd say comes across my desk. And as part of the communications group, you know, we have the video side that you're involved in heavily also. You know, on the photos, we... When I say we, myself, and then the guys that work as part of my team, there's four other guys, photographers, contract guys that work pretty much year-round. And a lot of it is just to document the day, both game day, non-game day events of the club. And then my job is just to make sure that, you know, we have everything covered, you know, whatever event that might be or the game, that we've got people shooting it, different events. And then from there, it's archiving it, making sure that we preserve our history. So a lot of it is kind of comes from the ownership, the DeWitts, who place a lot of value in sort of the history of the club, right? They're big history buffs, and a lot of that is told through our photo, sort of pre-video. And my job is to sort of maintain the archive of our history. That goes back through the early 1900s, through present day, making sure that those images are in a place that are that I can get into, that other front office employees can tap into. It's ever expanding, but you know, a lot of the my position sort of was born out of the need to get images quickly, right? It was, I think, one day Bill III was looking for something, and he's like, I really want to get this photo. Maybe it was from his dad, and you know, it was maybe from a World Series celebration or a postseason celebration. And I think the response was, well, we'll look into it. Like, when do you need it by, or how soon? And there was some angst in getting it. And I think he scratched his head and go, why can't I get that photo, like, quickly? Where is it? And so I think the wheel started spinning, and that sort of created the momentum to say, can we centralize everything? And can we have a department that just is in charge of photography? So it's not so scattered. So in the past, you'd have different departments. They'd say ticketing or corporate sales. Hey, you know, we'd like some photos of X, Y, and Z. And they would contact the photographer directly. They would negotiate different rates, et cetera, et cetera. And those images would come to the club. And they would end up on someone's hard drive or on a disk back then. Or even before that, it would be slides or prints. And those, of course, end up in a shoebox, end up on someone's desk, cobwebs, whatever, never to be found again. So we wanted to try to centralize it, bring it up to speed, modernize the whole process. And we employed a company called Heritage Works about 7 years ago now. And they digitized a lot of our assets, and they housed a lot of our stuff in Atlanta. And so that's sort of the broad strokes of it, really just to make sure that, A, we get photos taken and people know where to get them. So I'm like the digital librarian. I also take pictures as the in-house guy. I wear a lot of different hats. But it's really service orientated and to try to capture the history of the club.
You mentioned it. I mean, there's a lot more than I think most people would recognize or know that needs to be photographed. The club's charitable efforts. You do headshots for the entire front office. And the front office, a lot of the time fans say front office and they're thinking about Mo and Gersh and those guys. But it's a much larger group than that, even with the groups you talked about, ticketing and corporate sales, our group, communications. But the part that people are probably most excited about is the interface that you have with the players. You know, we'll see where maybe a cool photo gets taken of a guy walking into the ballpark, and all of a sudden it's on his personal social. Kind of walk me through the process of how it gets from your camera or one of your shooter's cameras and ends up on Colton Wong or Jack Flaherty's Instagram.
Yeah, so the evolution of our club photography certainly evolved a lot with social and with MLB sort of demand, a request to have more player profiles and really just expand the image of the league and of each player's sort of persona, right? Their brand. So as part of that, you know, they asked us to take different types of photos that more showcase their personality. So in the event that the case mentioned where players coming in or exiting the stadium pre and post game, allows us to capture not only their fashion but just their personality. Oftentimes, you see between the lines, it's their serious, it's the game, and you know, ball and bat kind of stuff. So fans want to see something a little bit more, right? Something a little more diverse. Like, what's Colton wearing? What kind of pants is he wearing? You know, is there a hole in his pants again? Like, what is it that makes Jack unique?
What is that on Harrison's T-shirt?
Right. So even my kids are like, oh, hey, I saw Harrison's T-shirt. That's a so-and-so brand logo. And I go, what? They said, yeah, it's very exclusive. So, and so part of it is to capture that identity, right? And each player has their own sort of characteristic. And it's more of this, I don't say new school, but this generation of guys who are about developing their sense of who they are. So we position ourselves, you know, in certain spots around the stadium, you know, in the exit ways where they come by and they know us, they might wave, do whatever it is, show the personality, we take the picture. That goes right to my phone. Then I offload either directly to the player or to a website where the players can go then download and post to their social. So it really happens within, I'd say, you know, taking a photo to the site, it can be within minutes. And it's all very quick. As everyone knows, they want to see something right now. You know, I'm not going to a dark room. I'm Bluetoothing it from my phone, or from my camera to my phone, a quick edit, and then off to the player or to a site where they can download. So it's all really quick. Instant gratification, that's the world we live in. You know, so sometimes, you know, there are times where I want to be more artful and take more time to edit, but in those situations, it's pretty quick.
You're definitely part of helping those guys with their brand, which is important, and that kind of creates a unique relationship you get to have with them. Just in the general sense, what's that interaction you get to have like with the roster on a day-to-day basis?
I would say it's number one, I view it as a privilege, first and foremost, to, you know, to have my job and to do what I do, right? And to be now in my seventh year and to develop sort of relationships that I think have taken time and fostered, you know, over the years, starting in spring training and you know, through the draft signings. And these are things that you have to culture and nurture, understanding that it is a business, so there's turnover. So when I started in January 2013, that was a great year. I went to the World Series. A lot of things happened. A very, very busy year. So on that year, fast forward now, 2019, I think there's like four guys left, like Colton, Yachty, Waino, Carpenter. That's it. From that particular club, right? The whole roster is turned over. There's new guys coming in every year. And so every year is a new start, chance to build a relationship that starts, like I said, either the draft signing and meet their parents, and take their picture when they're on the field. And then spring training, when you really get to sort of see them, they see you every day, morning, afternoon, day in, day out. And they begin to associate you with being part of the club. And I think, Brett, with you on your side being video when you first started, and now they associate you with the insider. There's a sense of comfort, professionalism that you bring, and that helps tear down walls. And so that allows you and myself to do our job, which is let me just, you know, capture you in a way that's going to make you look good or whatever it is, right? So, yeah, over the years, I've had the privilege of developing, you know, working relationships, some, you know, to say friends, I don't want to like ever cross those lines, but we have relationships where I know that if I need something from a certain player that I'm comfortable in approaching all the players, but some, they know that they can help me out without any question, right? There's no like back talk, there's no side look or side eye like, oh, I don't have time for you. They know that I have a job to do, just like you have a job to do with video, telling a story, and that we will be respectful of their time, will be efficient, and will turn a good product, right? So they get it, right? And the rookies, so I always say, get your hooks in early with the rookies, right? Let them know who you are. And so they only know how to say yes to you, right? But you get one shot, I think, to make a good impression. So when you say, hey, I'll take 10 minutes for a shoot, take 8 minutes. And so they know in the future that Taka says what he says, and he does what he does. Doesn't waste my time. I'm in and out, and that for me, I built up that sort of goodwill over the years with the players, and there's a mutual level of respect, which it's great to have.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big believer in that with what we do too. I would rather, definitely the first time, would rather take less than I said I was going to take, because I know that they're going to be more willing the next time around,
right,
to do it. And it's amazing to me how many demands there are on the time of these guys. You probably see that a lot. I mean, it's when you do a photo shoot, there's a lot of things to consider. You're working in pretty tight timelines. How do you balance that and make that work when you know, okay, I've got 8 minutes to get this guy in and out and get what I need?
I think it's experience. It's just working out, practicing. Knowing your gear, right? So being set up, being ready to go. And just being prepared as best you can. When I did my first team photo, and I think, you know, I was told Mike Matheny said, yeah, I think he told Brian Bartow, our director of media relations, I'll give you like, I don't know, 15 minutes through the shot, right?
Yeah.
That's hurting, you know, 70 plus guys out there getting the shot. And I said, okay, well, I'll try and do it in 12, right? I think I did it in 13 minutes. So it was pretty quick. It worked out. So I just think this is practice. But I never like to feel rushed, you know, because you are trying to turn a good product, because oftentimes this product is used for other marketing purposes. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a little bit of time and go, guys, just, hey, be patient. Let me look at okay, this looks good. Your eyes are closed, you know, whatever. But I think it's just experience over and over and over again, knowing how quickly you can set something up, how quick you can take it down, your lighting, planning ahead of time. These are the poses I want to do. Discussing with the player or players, hey, this is what we're trying to achieve. These are different looks. You know, give me 5 minutes, give me 10 minutes, and you know we can knock it out. So I think just preparation, like anything else in life, you prepare, plan for the worst, expect the best, and good things happen.
I don't want to put you on the spot too much here, but you've been with the club 7 years. I mean, you mentioned you have some really good relationship with some of the guys, whether it's a current roster guy or not. Do you have a favorite that you really enjoyed shooting, like a guy that just I think of from a video perspective? And we have a 25, well now almost 40 good guys on our roster.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I really don't have bad experiences with him, right, which I'm thankful for. But yep. Jose Martinez is just always like, that guy is a ball of energy. What people see on TV, that is the way that dude gets out of bed in the morning, and
yep,
it's the way he is when he goes to bed at night.
Yep, for sure.
You got a favorite guy that just like lights up the room when he walks in?
I'm going to light up the room. I think Jose, like, I haven't shot a whole lot of solo stuff with him, but I 100% agree that he is the real deal in terms of his personality. What you see is what you get. A lot of energy, a lot of fun. You know, I think guys that over the years that I've had a good relationship, or it's gotten stronger, I would say, you know, Yachty for sure. He's always been very respectful of the work that I do. And I think he just appreciates professionalism, right? So I try to give that to him. And when I have requests, he's like, yeah, whatever you need. And I'm not afraid to ask him to do things, but I'm also very mindful of his time. And so I try to save my bullets for big projects. But recently, I would say, you know, I did like kind of a quasi all-day thing with Paul DeJong. Really good sport.
He's a good guy too.
Yeah, I mean, just super accommodating. Whatever you need to talk about, yeah, let's do this. You know, hey, it's great. Bader's the same way. Flaherty. I mean, no surprise, like younger guys. You know, some older guys who aren't older guys aren't anymore. I mean, Gretschig was one of my boys. I love working with him. He was great. Piscotti, some of that crew there that I've, you know, became friends with, Tui. I mean, yeah, but I'd agree with you, like, this current squad, you know, they're all, like, you know, even Andrew Miller a little bit during spring training, super chill, like, really nice guy. I wasn't sure, like, hey, new guy, is he going to be standoffish? What's his deal? Really nice. Wieters is cool. Like, just a good group of guys, you know, mm-hmm, very, like, flexible, and... You know, when they say they're going to show up, they show up ready to go. Like, I appreciate that. Like, but a good story, like, was spring training 2 years ago, Harrison Bader's rookie. I think that was his first camp. And a lot of times, as you know, at spring training, right, you're hustling, you're trying to get guys to round up for videos, right? And one thing they always say to you is, how about tomorrow after, right? It's sort of the brush off, like, hey, maybe tomorrow, or how about after BP? And then you go see him. Well, how about after lunch, right? And before you know it, they've left out the back door because they've got something to do. And you know, I don't blame them. I mentioned to Harrison one day, look, I have to do something for you for the magazine. And it's about, you know, you got to wear your dad's watch, whatever it is, right? And he's like, okay. So I told him, you know, I want to do it at the end of the day. We're going to do it over here real quick in the locker room, boom, against the wall. It'll take 3 minutes. And I had actually, it was the following day, my day got away from me, and I basically forgot, or I was doing something else. And then someone, either a clubby or someone, came up and said, hey, Harrison's looking for you. He's ready to go. Like, he wants to go to the shoot. And I was like, wow. Like, typically, I'm running down guys, but he had to run me down. And I go, this guy's got it. Like, I said, hey, Harrison, first of all, I really appreciate you, A, remembering, and B, like, trying to find me. Like, that's... Like, it was a rare thing, but it set the tone for our relationship, which has been very, very positive, and, you know, it's getting stronger, and he's just the guy who gets it. Like I said, Jack also is one of those, you know, just a really solid guy who cares about what he projects, and part of our club is to make sure we project guys in a good light, and I tell the same thing, not just the players, but, you know, jokingly, I might say to Mo, you know, hey, I want to make sure that if your picture goes out to the Post or any kind of media or ownership, I want to make sure that they're getting a nice profile, you know, something that looks good, nice angle, you know, good lighting. And because I want to take pride in how our front office looks forward facing and not, you know, some grumpy shot that might be run in the papers, like, you know, that sometimes you see and it's like, hey, that's not what really he looks like. That's kind of a weird picture. Why wouldn't you go something more pleasant? I've got a lot of those pleasant pictures. You know, here you go.
You've mentioned spring training a couple of times. You've covered some playoffs. You went to Mexico this year. You've been a part of a lot of cool things. Do you have a favorite like time of year or maybe a one-off event like the trip to Mexico? Just something that was unique within your Cardinals career that you think back on fondly?
Some good moments. I would say spring training is always a very sort of unique time. It's not my wife's favorite time. It's probably her worst time, right?
Nor mine.
Nor yours, right? We're away, and they have to manage their jobs and the kids and schedules, and it's extremely difficult and puts a lot of stress on them, and it's tough. I would say that is a time, once again, I look at that as a time for relationship sort of strengthening, new relationships. It's a really important time to get in and get embedded with the guys, and it's sort of a start of a whole new thing, and it's that optimism just kind of regenerates. So 2013, you know, the World Series, it was one of my first gigs was the Stan Musial funeral, and then bookends with the World Series. So I really covered a lot during that year. So historically, that was kind of a crazy year, but as a photographer, I really did a lot. And, you know, traveling with the team to Boston, or throughout the playoffs was unique. Our Williamsport trip 2 years ago now for the Little League World Series against Pittsburgh was very cool. Mexico was definitely unique, being there and got to see the city and just spend time there. So a lot of cool moments. You know, like I said, it's always unique anytime you get to travel with the club, see new cities. Engage with you know, my counterparts in other cities. It's a lot of fun, and like I said, it's just I'm very lucky to do what I get to do, but at the same time, you know, people say, oh, spring training, it's you can go to the beach, it's sunny. Like I've never been to the beach in the 7 years I've never gone to the beach, right? So it's I'm there early in the morning, just like you are, and you leave at the end of the day, and I go home to my apartment, my hotel, and I edit there through the night. So it's really just like I'm transferring my job out to some backfields out in Florida. Yes, there's no snow on the ground, right? But I'm eating out of a fridge. It's not glamorous in any sense or the imagination. It's a lot of work because we have a lot of demands, you know, things we have to do, right? And we have busy schedules. You have your video schedule. I have my photo schedule. We just have a lot of things going on. So, but some days I go, look, what am I complaining for? I could be whatever, insert other job, right? I'm taking pictures or I'm editing pictures for a living. Like, that's not bad. You know what I mean? Like, I can't ever feel too down on myself. Like, oh, woe is me, I have a sunburn. Okay, well, I have a sunburn. Just, you'll get through it, Taka. You know what I mean? Knuckle up. You know, it's not that bad. It's a great job.
Yeah, you probably get a lot of sunburns down there. That's a spring training standard for me. But you're out there on the ground, on your belly, I mean, crawling around in Florida, and nobody's going to feel sorry for us because, like you said, no snow. But,
right.
But, yeah, I bet you that you deal with the elements a lot. You know, yeah. It's something that kind of along the lines of what you're saying that I really – last year for the first time got to really appreciate is I was at the very first pitch of the first spring training game, which my first year with the club, I came on board before or during spring training but didn't get to go. Or maybe that was – I'm getting the timeline confused. A couple years ago. Anyway,
older, yeah.
the first pitch of spring training, and then you and I were both in Chicago for the final out of the season last year. And, of course,
yeah, we were.
That didn't
– I forgot about that.
Didn't end the way we wanted, but, like, the gratification and just the humbling nature of, like, being there at literally the very beginning and literally the very end, that was really, really, really cool. And you've seen that a lot, too.
Yeah, no, I think it's great to have the bookends. You know, people say, oh, you travel a lot. I said, well, I go to spring training and then the postseason or at the end of the year. And you see the start to end and all the different stories that are part of that. But it is kind of neat to be a part of in some small ways that you feel like you are part of the club in some regards. And well, we're just sort of maybe a spoke in the wheel. You know, we have a purpose, and I think that you know we're telling a story from the communications side, and it is really important. I don't want to like devalue what we do because you know what we put out there visually is oftentimes what you know our fans. It's sort of their first experience, or fans who can't go to a game, or whatever it is, right? It's the videos that they see or the pictures that they see. They go that allows them to connect with the club. So, we support what we do. You know, Yeah.
Probably my my favorite talk of fact. You still play pickup hockey with Bill DeWitt III. Is that correct?
I am retired. I don't know. Bill still skates. I now more of a I support my son in his hockey endeavors and he's burgeoning young career. So I guess I'm semi-retired. You know, some pick up a little bit, but mostly it's shuttling him through different events, different rinks and training facilities, and now supporting my daughter as she embarks on her cross country career. So, you know, there's so many hours in the day, right? My wife would say, "Look, Taka, hey, I mean, at some point you gotta, you know, do some stuff around the house, and you have to, you know." So, I get it. But when my kids are old enough, they move away, I may break out the skates and get back on it. But for now, I'm just trying to be a dad.
Were you a goaltender between the pipes?
I was between the pipes, so I might explain a lot. I was a goalie for sure, my son's a defenseman, so I love the sport. It's you know that in baseball. I mean, so it's a great time to be a hockey fan in St. Louis. But yeah, that was my sport growing up in Canada.
That's awesome. Well, Taka, thanks for doing this. This has been fun. I know that our listeners will really enjoy it, and just kind of knowing where the photos come from that they see on Twitter and Instagram and throughout the marketing materials, all of that starts with you and your team, and you guys do a great job. Thanks for hopping in with us today.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great day.
That's him, the one, the only, Taka Yanagimoto, here on the Cardinals Insider Podcast. Hope that you enjoyed it. He's a fun guy to be around and fun to hear about his experiences with the organization and the work that he does every day to help bring Cardinal baseball to you, both on social media, through Cardinals Magazine, and a variety of other places as well. Big series coming up in the final homestand of the year. Doesn't really look like there's a way that this one isn't going to be interesting. There's going to be something. Who knows what it might be, but there could be some kind of consequence, it would seem, to the final home series of the season. You don't want to miss the best rivalry in baseball as the Cardinals host the Chicago Cubs at Busch Stadium Friday, September the 27th through Sunday, September 29th. The 29th being the final game of the regular season. Great seats remain at this moment for this fun and friendly I-55 rivalry. Get your Cardinals-Cubs tickets today at cardinals.com. That's it for this episode of the program. We're back with you next Tuesday, hopefully steaming toward some playoff content here in 2019. Boy, wouldn't that be fun? For Taka Yanagimoto, my name's Brett McMillan. We'll talk to you next week on the Cardinals Insider Podcast.